Paul Young, Every Time You Go Away on BBC Lincolnshire. Now, it's Monday evening. On Mondays, we talk about the latest techie news. Tonight, we're talking about Vonga. Yeah, never heard of Vonga. Well, I'd never heard of Vonga. And also, again, we look at the whole issue of broadband access in rural areas, like in Lincolnshire. When we spoke about this last time, when we got people to just send in what sort of speeds they were getting, it was just awful. It was just ridiculous. Our guest tonight is Treff Davis, who runs business ISP in Newark, Tomiko, and is also on the board of the ISP Association. So this is internet service providers, all the big ones that we would have heard about. You sit around a table.
And Tomiko.
And Tomiko, absolutely. And you sit around a table with them. Hey, you're Welsh. What are you doing here? You should be out celebrating St. David's Day.
Well, I've eaten my daffodil and my leek. So I better have something else to do.
Let's talk about, we'll get on to broadband in rural areas, which is always a big issue, in just a moment, but let's talk about Vonga first. Now, listen, I don't know whether you've just made that up. I've heard of VoIP. VoIP is voice over internet protocol, and lots of businesses will be running on VoIP, lots of homes will be running on VoIP now. That's how they can make their telephone calls. What's Vonga?
Well, you know what? First of all, it's a better acronym than VoIP, isn't it? I mean, it rolls off the tongue. And it's quite a new acronym in that I don't think very many people outside of the industry will have heard it. Vonga is actually Voice Over Next Generation Access, right? Which sounds a little bit wishy-washy, doesn't it? I mean, what is next generation access?
Yeah, it sounds like anybody could have made that up, even though we don't know what the next generation is yet.
My big worry is that when BT come to taking it out to production, that they'll turn it into a user-friendly, customer-facing name rather than a great name like Vonga, which you can do lots of things with. But, I mean, BT... I mean, Tomiko is a BT partner, okay? So BT spend all the money rolling out the network, and we sell it and basically manage it. And BT has invested billions over the last 5, 6, 7 years in what people may know as the 21CN network, the 21st century network. And so they're very keen...
Sorry, I was going to say, is that improving areas that they already have then? Is that improving lines?
It basically makes it cheaper for them to run the network, and also means they can run new services and faster broadband. So all this new broadband, up to 24 megabits per second broadband, that runs on their 21CN network. Okay. Now, they spent all these billions, but of course they've still got a huge investment in old telephone exchanges, all the copper, you know, all this. Some of these copper lines have been in the ground or on the telegraph pole for 30, 40, 50 years or more, right? And it's all starting to fall apart, and BT wants to plan to move everybody away from the old copper to the new. The new is fibre, okay, so bits of glass in the ground, and the fibre has properties that make it much better than copper. Whenever there's a storm, electrical storm, or a lot of rain or wind, Tomiko gets a huge increase in the number of complaints about broadband or their phone lines. And that's because copper does not like water, right? But you can run fibre in your bath, if you like, and it'll still work okay, right? So BT wants to move people away from copper to fibre. Now, the problem they've got is they ain't ready to do it yet. They have to completely change all the telephone exchanges over and so on. And the last thing they want to do is in a new greenfield site. So if somebody's building a housing estate on the edge of town or even a new town, last thing they want to do is build an old-fashioned telephone exchange there. So they've come up with what's called Vonga, Voice Over Next Generation Access. To these new places, they will run fibre without no copper, and it'll be fibre to the premises, so people will be able to get really, really high-speed broadband. Like, we're talking 100 megabits per second instead of, I don't know what you say, your survey resulted in...
Oh, it was just 0.6 if you're lucky in some cases.
So, you know, you'll be able to get fantastic speed broadband, and you'll be able to run voice over using voice over IP, VoIP, as you mentioned before. And the idea is that they don't want to invest in new infrastructure, whichever way around you want to look at it, and they want to put fibre in the ground. So that, of course, is just them experimenting or getting the basic technology into place so that when they do get rid of all these old telephone exchanges, they've had all the work done so that they can put fibre everywhere. Now, it's not an overnight process.
Well, when you're talking about putting fibre everywhere, are they actually having to run fibre to every single property.
That's what they will do. I mean,
and not, I'm not going to say that underground to every single property.
Well, that's how it usually goes, yeah.
So do all the telephone poles go?
They will all go eventually.
They're not going to use them to run fibre over the land. I mean, that would probably be a cheaper option.
Currently, it's all underground. Right? But they had a big announcement last year of a £1.5 billion investment to put the first chunk of fibre into people's premises. And it started off, actually, with what's called fibre to the cabinet. So if you walk along the street, you'll see a green box about a metre high, and actually that's your contact to the telephone exchanges, and all the stuff from the poles comes into that and goes back. So now people can get, if available in your area, and not very many areas are available, you can get 40 megabits per second broadband because they've effectively brought the fibre to that cabinet and brought it, the exchange, closer to you, right? Because the speed of your broadband is a function of how far you are from the exchange, right? So the next step on from that is to actually run the fibre all the way. And the benefits of that is they get rid of the copper completely. They don't have to worry about maintaining it. Because in the whole BT network, remember there are about 8 million broadband lines out there. They get tens of thousands of faults every month. Tens of thousands is a huge cost to them. And so by putting fibre in as a long-term thing, they can get rid of that cost.
That's such a massive project. I mean, you can see, you know, it needs to be done. We need to move forward. It's not new technology. Even now, is it?
I've got a little quiz for you here.
Oh, don't. Go on.
How much fibre do you think BT already has in the ground?
How much have they already got in the ground?
Already.
I have no idea. I don't know.
They have 12 million kilometres of it in the ground. I was flabbergasted, but I did some work last week just for a blog post on Trevor.net. And 12 million, so there's an awful lot of stuff there already, and it's the way the whole world's moving. And 12
can million. They go through, like we sometimes hear other people experimenting with, can they go, if they need to put it underground, can they go through holes that are already there? Can they put it through your water pipes and things like that?
Yeah, they can do, yeah. In fact, maybe a bit of an unsavoury aside, but I went on a tour of the sewers in London last year just to see the fibre networks, because it was a really cheap and easy way of running a fibre network around London. So even through the Olympic Village, there's a sewer that goes right through where the Olympics are, and there's a whole thick wadge of fibres that you couldn't get your hand around, not that you'd want to in the sewer, where all the connectivity is. Yeah. So it's, and in fact, it was only last week that Ian Livingstone, who's the chief executive officer of BT, said we will share our ducts with other competitive service providers like NTL, Virgin, whatever they're called these days. Of course, in exchange, he wants to be able to use their ducts, which seems fair to me. But it's certainly the holes in the ground is one of the biggest costs of rolling this network out. And it might have been like the year before now, when the government came out with what's called the Digital Britain Report, which, you've been a Twitterer, you'll have seen lots of stuff flying around. They calculated the rough cost of putting fibre to every premises as £29 billion, but £24 billion of that was just digging up the roads.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that mad? Isn't that mad? So more sharing of holes in the ground?
Yeah, that's the answer. It's, that's got to be some answer. Creativity,
I mean,
there.
It's even daft, isn't it? When if you look at areas like Lincoln, when years ago Diamond Cable came in and dug up the road to put cable TV, and then it got taken over by NTL, now Virgin. But there are new estates popping up in Lincoln all the time that don't have it.
That's right.
We see that doesn't make sense, does it? They're brand new, but nobody's extending the cable network.
I mean, I'm a bit of an internet type, right? So, but if I was looking for somewhere to live now, knowing what I know, I would have to find somewhere which had the connectivity. All my kids, my four kids, they're on iPlayer, they're on Xbox Live, they're on this, that, and you know, Facebook. They're using it all the time. If they didn't have the internet, it would be all hell would break loose, wouldn't it? My wife wouldn't be able to check her eBay status and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, it would be awful. I can't imagine your house without the connectivity.
They'd have to talk to each other.
but you're right. You know, you think buying a brand new house these days would be it, but you know what you're talking about is BT starting now to think right.
Yeah, but it's not a quick process.
We need to start getting that in place. All right, stay with us. We'll talk about other broadband issues in rural areas like Lincolnshire. Well, look, we've already been talking about Vonga. We didn't make it up. Treff Davis is here as our guest on the Techie Spots tonight. Treff Davis runs the business ISP in Newark, Tomiko. Also sits on the board of the ISP associations. So you know what's going on in terms of internet service providers. We've been talking about the connectivity to properties. Now, that is highlighted even more in an area like Lincolnshire, when you start to get out into the rural parts of Lincolnshire, isn't it? It's a big, big issue.
It's a huge and hugely emotive issue. I mean, I quite often listen to Radio Lincolnshire on the internet, okay? That's why I do it. It's probably better quality over the internet than it is on the radio sometimes, especially the DAB. But so many people in Lincolnshire, but all over the country, and it doesn't have to be... You don't have to get very far out of town to not have a very good internet connection. So many people can't do it. So many people can't make Skype phone calls because they haven't got the bandwidth there. And all of the investment, like Vonga, for example, that we've just been speaking about, all this fibre investment is going into densely populated areas that already get good internet connection, because that's where all the people are, or the number of people per exchange, which makes it viable to spend the money, right? So what does that do for someone living in a village with only 50 people, or even a village with 500 people isn't really big enough to make it cost effective, right? And there is a groundswell of rural activism happening now, especially following really the disappointment that they think that all this, the new laws that have been passed with the Digital Economy Bill and following on from Digital Britain, you know, where people were hopeful that they might finally do something about it and get rid of what's called the digital divide, so which is the unfairness between the rich townies and the poor rural types who can't have, you know, the broadband poverty, not the benefits they get from living there. So it doesn't look like it's going anywhere. The government doesn't appear to be doing much, or at least not doing it fast enough. So there are lots of organisations in the UK now who are thinking about ganging together and seeing if they can do something with a collective voice.
Well, you had a big meeting, didn't you, at your headquarters in Newark on Friday?
That's right.
So what sort of organisations are
coming
forward and want to be part of this?
The Country Landowners Association, CLA, that's quite a famous one. We had people like Lincolnshire County Council who have got, you know, there's been a lot of initiatives in Lincolnshire over the last few years trying to get connectivity into rural areas. Lots of small network runners around, you know, Yorkshire, there's big investment going into Cornwall from the EC, so there were people from all over the place, and so they all got together and to discuss how on earth, what they do about it, okay? One of the things is that the CLA is tomorrow in London launching an initiative to get all these people together into some kind of loose trade association, if you like, to try and put pressure on the government, which is, of course, good timing with the elections coming up, whenever that may be. But another of the issues, which is all part of the putting pressure on the government, is understanding what the problems are. Why is it difficult to roll out broadband to these areas? There's one example. There's a network in Lancashire called the Wennington Network. They've got about 20 or 30 users. They've got a 2 megabit connection, which costs them about £20,000 to put in, and they get a sort of rudimentary broadband connection. For them to put a bigger connection in costs £70,000, which for 20 or 30 users, £70,000 a year, that is, right? That's not going to work. But if you look at why it costs so much, and you start looking and drilling into it and looking at things like the rates system, every single metre of fibre along that 20 or 30 miles, or whatever it is, you have to pay rates, right? And I don't know, Evan, another quiz question. Have you got any idea how much the rates?
I've no idea.
It's £600 per kilometre. So if you've got a community of 50 people or 10 people, and you've got to run a 10-kilometre fibre or a 20-kilometre fibre. No, that is not economic. So one of the things the government could do would be to just get rid of the rates, which would make it fair, right? Which would make it more potentially more viable. The other thing that they have to do is the way the rating system has been set up, and remembering it's been around for 400 years now, okay, is that it's based on a volume play. So someone like BT, who has got the 12 million kilometres or thereabouts, allegedly, fibre, they pay £600 a metre for the first one, but then it'll be less for the second one and less for the third, and so on, till it gets to the point where for them to roll out extra fibre, it really doesn't cost them that much. But for somebody new coming into the game, wanting to sell fibre to these rural areas, they're all in it for the £600 a metre, right? So it makes it difficult for people to come up with new initiatives, for communities to get together to do things that will enable
and
them.
And that tends to be what's been happening. And we've had this here in Lincolnshire as well. You do get communities having to do something.
Yes.
To get anywhere near the connection speed that they
And it's
want.
Worse than that, because I went to a meeting last week at the Government Valuation Office Agency, which is where they come up with how much rates you should be paying for these things, and the government wants to apply rates to Wi-Fi hotspots, and they don't know how much to charge for a Wi-Fi hotspot yet, but of course a lot of these community rural areas depend on wireless connections, and you know, a lot of them are housed in on the top of silage silos of a friendly farmer who doesn't charge them for it but wants to help the community. What the government wants to do is charge rates on that free service because there's a perceived rental value. If he wanted to rent it out to somebody on the free market to a mobile phone mass, maybe there's a value associated with that.
And so the idea all these groups are getting together to put pressure on any party,
yeah,
because this has been around for so long, to just look at this.
And one of the propositions,
look at this again,
is that there's a very high profile 50 pence a phone line tax that is going to be charged to everybody with a phone line. That includes your granny who doesn't have any interest in going on a broadband. But of course there are some people who think that's not fair, right? Whereas if you were to remove that and remove the rates as an alternative way of subsidising it, that actually is fair. Right.
Good. Well,
it's
that's
complicated.
That's solved then. We could all move forward. So if you removed all that, the actual cost of connecting everybody up wouldn't actually be...
Well, if you think about it, right, when you've dug up the... You paid to dig up the ground in the first place, you put the fibre in, it stays there, nothing ever happens to it, except maybe once in a blue moon when the tractor goes through it and you have to send someone out to fix it. So the only cost is associated with the equipment at both ends, which is, and then that cost is the electricity cost and maybe the depreciation on that equipment, right? So the rates adds an annual cost, which is a huge proportion of the cost of running the network, over and above any other costs. Deathly hush there.
There you go.
So they're all sinking.
You know, that's interesting. But, you know, are they actually going to remove that?
Oh, well.
Because the thing is that...
Let's see where this CLA initiative gets us.
Because it's quite a new thing. People haven't... You know, lots of these groups that we've been talking about haven't been paying out that money. So in one way, they wouldn't be losing that money because they're not getting it in at the moment because it's stopping people doing it.
No, exactly.
It's interesting stuff. Trev, thank you very much. Thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
Expanding our mind with the world of technology. Trev Davis from the business ISP Tomiko, which is based in Newark. And next week, more techie stuff. Monday evenings, we talk about techie stuff. If you've just come through halfway through that, if you want to listen again, if your connection is any good, you can grab it on the BBC iPlayer and listen to Drive Time.
On air and online.
This is BBC Lincolnshire.
On air and online.
This is BBC Lincolnshire.